All right, let's jump right in. Today, we're going to be heading back to ancient Israel.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah, we're diving deep into the Chronicles.
Okay.
But specifically, we're going to be looking at Dr. August Conkle's work.
Okay.
And the topic is something that's caused a lot of debate over the years,
I'm intrigued.
the so-called 10 Lost Tribes of Israel.
Ooh, that's a big one.
Yeah, and get ready, because we're going to be busting some myths today.
I love myth busting. Okay, so the chronicler, he uses these genealogies, right?
Right.
And they're not just, boring lists of names. They're
Yeah.
really more like this tapestry, like a vibrant tapestry,
But yeah.
weaving together the story of a whole nation,
Yeah.
revealing the connections between the people and their
Right.
history
So,
and their faith.
yeah, so it's like ancestry.com, but with way higher stakes.
Exactly.
But here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Dr. Conkle actually argues that the chronicler is challenging this whole myth of the lost tribes, which is pretty mind-blowing when you think about it.
Yeah, that is interesting because you see, the chronicler was writing at a time
Right.
when people from all the different tribes of Israel were all living together in Yehud,
Okay.
which, by the way, that's the name for the region around Jerusalem
Right.
after the Babylonian exile.
Okay.
So for him, it's not about some tribes just vanishing.
Yeah.
It's about emphasizing that everyone is still there, connected by this shared heritage.
So it's like the chronicler is saying, hold up, everybody's accounted for.
Exactly.
We're all part of this epic saga,
Yeah.
but why go through all this trouble to debunk this myth?
That's a good question.
Like, what was at stake for the chronicler
Yeah.
and the community he was writing for?
Well, imagine you're living in a world
Okay.
and like a huge part of your people have vanished.
Right.
It would create this feeling of fragmentation, of
Yeah.
loss.
Yeah, for sure.
So by emphasizing the continuity of all the tribes,
Right.
the chronicler is offering this message of unity and hope,
Okay.
especially when their identity and claim to the land
Right.
were being questioned.
So he's like, we're still here, we're stronger than ever,
Exactly.
and our claim to this land, it's unbroken.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's dig a little deeper into this myth.
Okay.
Where did this idea of 10 lost tribes even come from?
Well, the common misconception, it
Yeah.
comes from the Assyrian conquest
Right.
of the Northern Kingdom of Israel in 722 BC.
Okay, so that's when the Assyrians came in.
Yeah, the Assyrians were known for being brutal, like forced deportations and
All
stuff.
right.
So people started thinking that these 10 tribes were just scattered, lost
A
forever.
historical cliffhanger.
Right.
But Dr. Conkle's saying, hold on, not so fast.
Exactly. He points to the chronicler's meticulous records showing that all the tribes are actually accounted for, even
Island.
the ones from the north.
Wow.
Like he's saying, don't believe the hype, we're all still here.
Our lineage is unbroken.
Yeah.
So no mysterious disappearances,
Yep.
just good record keeping.
It seems so.
Okay, so it's not just about proving a point, though.
Right.
These genealogies are full of interesting details
They are.
about specific tribes and their importance. What kind of cool stuff did you find?
Oh, there are some gems in there. Take Issachar and Benjamin, for instance.
Okay.
These tribes were strategically positioned near Jerusalem.
Okay.
And get this, the city itself,
Yeah.
it actually straddled the border between them.
Whoa.
Yeah, between the two tribal territories.
So Jerusalem was this physical representation
You got it.
of unity between North and South,
Like exactly.
even before the exile. That's amazing.
It is.
What about all those massive numbers in the genealogies?
Right.
Like, we're talking thousands upon thousands of people.
Yeah, like was the chronicler just really bad at math?
I mean, it makes you wonder.
Haha, not quite. Remember, the chronicler's not just a historian, he's a theologian.
Yeah.
So those big numbers, they're not just about population.
Yeah.
They're a symbol of God's blessing.
Okay.
It's like saying, look how numerous and powerful we are.
God is on our side.
Exactly.
So it's more about making a theological statement
Yep.
than a census report.
That's right.
Okay, but I gotta admit, some parts are still confusing.
Like what?
Well, Dr. Conkle talks about this discrepancy
Okay.
in the lineage of Ephraim.
Right.
How could Joshua, a leader from Ephraim, have lived in Canaan before the Israelites even left Egypt?
That's a great question.
Doesn't quite add up.
And it highlights this ambiguity
Yeah.
in the chronicler's work. He actually has two genealogies for Ephraim,
Oh.
and the connection between them isn't really clear.
So is that a mistake?
Well, Dr. Conkle suggests a more nuanced interpretation.
Okay.
Maybe he isn't trying to make a definitive statement about Ephraim being in Canaan before the Exodus.
Yeah.
Maybe it's more about highlighting Joshua's connection to the tribe, regardless of the exact lineage.
So it's like, hey, the details might be fuzzy.
Yeah.
But the big picture's clear. Joshua's one of us, and that matters.
Precisely.
And there's other geographical puzzles, too.
Like what?
Well, the tribe of Asher, traditionally up north near Lebanon,
yeah,
is also described as being in the south in the chronicler's account.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah, like they're in two places at once.
Right. It's like pieces of a puzzle we're still trying to put together.
Yeah. Who doesn't love a good historical mystery?
Right.
But speaking of intriguing details, Dr. Mm-hmm. Conkle also talks about the chronicler's focus on the Benjamite militia.
Uh-huh.
Why is that so significant?
Well, this emphasis on the militia, it's actually setting us up for the story of Saul.
Oh, okay.
The first king of Israel.
Right.
And, you know, everyone loves a good origin story.
Absolutely.
Especially when it involves kings and armies.
It's like we set the stage with these genealogies.
Yeah.
And now the curtain's rising on the main act. But before we get caught up in all the drama.
Okay.
There's this one crucial statement that wraps up this genealogy section.
What's that?
All Israel was registered. It's like the chronicler's dropping the mic.
Uh-huh, yeah.
After making his point.
He's hammering home this idea that all the tribes were present and accounted for in Yehud.
Right, he's really not letting anyone forget it.
Nope.
And this idea of principal residence that he mentions, it's like he's emphasizing this connection to the land, right?
Yeah, it's about continuity.
Yeah.
These families knowing exactly where they belong.
We're not just passing through, we're here to stay.
Exactly.
So if we zoom out and look at the big picture, what do we see?
We see a vision of a united community.
Yeah.
Well, that's the ideal he's striving for.
Okay.
He puts Jerusalem at the center.
Right.
Surrounded by priestly families, the Levites.
Yeah, those gatekeepers.
The gatekeepers, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then all the tribes of Israel, each playing a role.
It's like this vibrant tapestry woven together
exactly. By
these ancestral threads.
It is.
But it's fascinating that he's writing this.
Right.
At a time when that unity was so fragile.
Yeah.
Threatened by all these divisions and external forces. So is this vision he's presenting, is it reality or is it a hopeful aspiration for the future?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's what makes the Chronicles so compelling.
Right.
It's not just a list of facts. It's a carefully crafted narrative.
Yeah.
Designed to shape the identity and destiny of a people struggling to find their place in the world.
It's like he's giving them a pep talk.
Yeah.
We've been through a lot, but we're still here.
We have a future if we stick together.
Right.
But as we know, things are rarely that simple.
You got that right. And that's exactly what we'll be exploring in part two of our deep dive.
Okay. What are we going to be looking at?
We'll uncover how this theme of unity plays out.
All right.
In the stories of the kings. The rebuilding of the temple.
Okay.
And all the challenges faced by this community.
It sounds juicy.
Get ready for some royal drama and epic power struggles.
I'm ready.
Okay. So we're back. And ready to dive even deeper.
Sounds good.
Into the world of the Chronicles.
Okay.
Last time we talked about all those genealogical mysteries.
Right.
And debunked the myth of the 10 lost tribes.
Yeah, that was fun.
So what's next on our agenda?
Well, remember how the chronicler set the stage?
Right.
With those intricate genealogies?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he was setting us up for a captivating story.
Ooh, I love a good story.
One that takes place against the backdrop of a divided kingdom.
Okay.
Yearning for unity, you know?
Yeah.
And strong leadership.
Sounds juicy. So where do we begin?
Well, the chronicler takes us straight to the heart of it all, introducing us to the family of Saul.
Okay.
The very first king of Israel.
Right, right.
But before we get to his coronation,
we
get this fascinating glimpse into his ancestry, tracing his lineage back generations.
Okay.
Now, why do you think he does that?
Well, like we said before, lineage was a big deal back then.
Right.
It was like your ultimate resume, proving you were worthy to rule.
Exactly. And the chronicler's really highlighting Saul's connection to the tribe of Benjamin.
Right. Those fierce warriors.
Exactly. Remember the Benjamite militia?
Yeah, yeah.
Saul's family, they were known for their military skills.
So it's like he's dropping these hints.
Yeah, foreshadowing his destiny.
Oh, I see. Like he's going to be a powerful leader.
You got it.
And speaking of the Benjamite militia.
Okay.
The chronicler gives us this cool look at how they were organized.
Yeah.
Like, strategically deployed.
Right. They were divided into groups.
Okay.
Stationed in key places, like Jerusalem and Gibeon. They formed this protective ring around Israel.
So they weren't just some random group of guys.
No.
They were well-trained.
A fighting force to be reckoned with.
But how did Saul, this seemingly ordinary guy,
right,
become their leader?
That's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
The chronicler is a little vague on those details.
Okay.
Remember, he's more about theological truths,
right,
than a step-by-step historical account.
Right.
But we know Saul wasn't born into royalty.
Right.
No silver spoon for him.
But he was chosen to lead a nation.
Despite his humble beginnings.
It's like an ancient Israelite Cinderella story.
I like that.
So anyone could rise to greatness, no matter their background.
If they were chosen by God, that is...
But there had to be some politics involved, right?
Right, absolutely.
Like, wouldn't the established families be a little upset?
You think. The chronicler is writing,
yeah,
during a time when a unified kingdom,
okay,
was still a recent memory.
Right.
But the tribes were often at odds with each other.
So there were power struggles.
Oh, yeah.
Jealousies.
Yeah.
Rivalries.
All simmering beneath the surface.
Okay, so Saul's rise to power.
Right.
Probably ruffled some feathers.
I'd say so.
We've got this tension, this power vacuum. And then Saul enters, charismatic, with a divine mandate.
It's a recipe for drama.
But before we get swept away.
Okay.
I want to go back to something you mentioned.
Okay, what's that?
The chronicler's emphasis on theological truths.
Right.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, remember, he's not writing a neutral history book.
Yeah.
He's creating a narrative to inspire and teach.
Okay.
He wants his audience to see God's hand at work. Mm-hmm. In their history.
So even in their struggle.
Even in the midst of it all.
It's like he's saying, hey, we might be a small nation.
Yeah.
Surrounded by enemies, but we've got God.
Exactly. And that changes everything.
And this emphasis on God's providence.
Right.
It's like a recurring theme, isn't it?
It is. He wants them to understand their fate is linked to their faith. Mm. When they obey God, things go well.
Right.
But when they stray, things go bad.
A cosmic cause and effect.
Right.
But I have a question about those other tribes,
right,
ones from the north.
Yeah.
We keep talking about unity, but were they really integrated into this new community?
That's a question that's caused a lot of debate.
I bet.
The chronicler is writing decades after the northern kingdom fell.
Okay.
So it's doubtful there was a smooth merging of the two.
Yeah.
But he seems to be pushing for inclusion.
Okay.
Emphasizing that all the tribes are part of Israel's story.
So it's more of an ideal
maybe
than a reality.
Perhaps.
Like, this is who we should be.
Yeah, this is what we're aiming for.
But I imagine some people weren't happy about that.
Of course. Imagine being forced out of your home.
Right.
Having to assimilate into a new culture.
Yeah.
Those wounds don't heal quickly.
And I think the chronicler recognizes that tension.
Yeah, he's not sugarcoating the past.
But he's offering a way forward.
Yes.
A vision of hope,
uh-huh,
that goes beyond those divisions. Like, he's saying, look, we can't change what happened.
But we can build a future together.
One that honors our shared heritage.
Yeah.
And recognizes everyone's contributions.
I like that.
But how does that vision actually play out?
That's what we'll explore next.
Oh.
We'll look at the reigns of the kings.
Okay.
The rebuilding of the temple.
Right.
And see how unity is woven into the chronicler's story.
Sounds epic.
It is.
I can't wait.
But before we wrap up,
okay,
I have a question for you.
Okay. To you.
What makes the Chronicles so unique?
Good question.
Why should we care about these old stories today?
Yeah, thousands of years later. Yeah. That's the beauty of it.
Mm.
They speak to us across time.
Right.
It's about power, identity, faith.
Struggle for unity.
Yeah.
In a divided world.
And they offer hope.
They do.
Even in the darkest times, there's always a chance for renewal.
For rebuilding.
For finding strength in our heritage.
Beautifully said.
It's like those genealogies we talked about.
Yeah.
They're not just about names and dates.
Right.
They're about the threads that connect us.
To the past.
Yeah.
To each other.
And to something bigger than ourselves.
A perfect way to put it.
Well, we're ready for the final act of our deep dive.
Let's do it.
Okay, so we're back for the final part of our deep dive into the Chronicles.
I'm excited.
Me too.
How?
It's been quite a journey so far.
It has.
We've gone through those ancient genealogies.
Right.
Debunked some myths.
Yeah.
And even saw the rise of a king.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still more to discover.
I'm sure there is.
What other treasures are hidden in these pages?
Well, remember how the chronicler keeps emphasizing Jerusalem?
Right, it's like the center of everything.
Exactly, and that becomes even more important in this next chapter.
Okay, so Jerusalem, it's more than just a city.
It is.
It's like the heart of their world.
Both physically and spiritually.
But what makes it so special for the chronicler?
Well, think about it. Jerusalem isn't just a strategic location.
Okay.
It's the place where God chose to dwell.
Right.
It's where the temple stood.
The temple, right.
Like a physical manifestation of his covenant with his people.
So it's like this sacred epicenter.
Yeah.
Tying everything together.
Kind of like those genealogies.
Yeah, they all lead back to Jerusalem.
Exactly. The city where heaven and earth meet.
But the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians, right?
It was, yeah.
How does the chronicler handle that?
That's a great question. It was a devastating event for the Israelites.
Right, I bet.
A moment of profound loss.
Yeah.
But the chronicler, writing later, shifts the focus to the future.
To rebuilding.
To renewal.
Exactly. So she's like, we got knocked down, but we're not out.
We'll come back stronger.
But rebuilding a temple, that's a huge task.
It is.
Where do you even begin?
It takes resources, leadership, a shared vision.
And that's where the priests and Levites come in.
You got it. They're not just religious figures.
Okay.
They're the architects, the organizers, the guardians of the project.
Right. Especially those Levites.
Yeah, they weren't just singing hymns.
They were keeping things in order.
Protecting Jerusalem and the temple.
Exactly.
The chronicler really highlights their roles, showing their attention to detail, their commitment to the laws.
It's cool how he gives us these glimpses into their daily life.
It is.
Their struggles, their triumphs, their fate.
That's what makes the chronicle so compelling.
So we've got this rebuilding effort in full swing.
Yeah.
Led by these dedicated priests and Levites with Jerusalem at the heart of it all.
Right.
What's the big message here? What's the chronicler trying to say?
He's reminding us that Israel's story isn't just about kings and battles.
Okay.
It's about faith, community, resilience.
A people chosen by God.
Despite their flaws.
Wow. That's powerful.
Yeah.
It's like, we might be small.
Yeah.
But our impact is huge.
Exactly.
But how does he connect this grand vision to the everyday stuff? The rebuilding, the priests, the Levites.
He shows us how every little thing contributes to the big picture.
Like each thread in a tapestry.
Exactly.
So it's not just the grand pronouncements.
No.
It's the everyday acts of faithfulness.
Right. Living out their covenant with God.
That's a message that still matters today.
Absolutely. Yeah. It reminds us that faith is more than just believing.
Yeah.
It's about living it out. Every day.
Even when it's tough.
Especially when it's tough.
Like those unsung heroes.
Yeah.
The ones who keep things running behind the scenes.
Yeah.
They might not get recognition.
Right.
But their work is important.
It shapes the destiny of a nation.
And the world.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up our journey through the Chronicles, what's the one thing you want to leave our listeners with?
I want them to remember that history isn't just dates and old texts.
Okay.
It's about stories, real people. Their lives, their struggles.
And their triumph.
And within those stories, we can find truth, insight, inspiration.
Beautifully said.
Yeah.
And for our listeners out there, if this deep dive has sparked your curiosity, I encourage you to explore the Chronicles.
You might be surprised what you find.
And remember, history is a conversation that never ends.
Yeah.
There's always more to discover.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.